Let's get into the word today. I have something that God laid upon my heart, and I'm like, God, where's this coming from? But then with what God's doing in today's service already, I'm like, okay, God, you knew better than I would ever know what was going to happen today and what you hadn't planned. So go with it, amen? And so the message is titled, What Did You Hear? What Did You Hear? And I'm hoping that you're going to tune in to what God's been speaking to you. We are almost on our summer theme of Strong Through the Storm. And today we're in week 9. It's really only the 6th message because I've missed a couple weeks in speaking. But it's week 9 of this summer series entitled Strong Through the Storms. All right, so what have you been hearing? What have you been hearing? Talking about the last 6 weeks, the last 9 weeks of our reading, the last 6 weeks of messages. What have you been hearing? Along with this series, we're also reading Pastor Jim's book by the same title, Strong Through the Storm. I'm not speaking from Pastor Jim's book. I don't do that. I'm speaking from the Word of God on what God speaks to me as we're studying Pastor Jim's book. So what has God been speaking to you? I can tell you this, and I want to ask you this because I'm experiencing it personally this time with this book. It's, if you're listening, God is speaking to our church. There's no doubt about it. God is setting my heart on fire for some things. There's some things that I'm seeing about our church. There's some things that I hear God speaking to my leadership and to the things of this church. And so I pray that you're reading this book. And if you put it down for some reason, you're not following through, please, this is the one book I would say, please pick up again. God is doing something. This was timely for our church, for where we're at. God is creating a new heart in some of us. I know he's doing that. Some of you have shared some things that you're hearing. He's speaking about the church that he's created us to be. I hear that every week as I read. And I believe that he's releasing us, this church. I'm not going to speak to other churches because I don't know what God's saying to their pastor today. But I believe that God is releasing us into those very things that he's called us to minister in the world where we do life. God has created us, okay, these are the messages. I'm just going to give them to you really quick. God has created us to be effective in our world, not to allow the things that the enemy brings against us, the storms, so to say, to hinder us from moving in the things that God has for us, and to be ready to follow him through the storm and in spite of the storm. That happens as he becomes our central focus. He needs to be the central focus of our worship. He needs to be the central focus of every one of our gatherings. And he needs to be the central focus of our lives. As we hear his voice and lay down our distractions, we'll be able to hear his voice clearer. We'll be able to follow his voice in a greater way. When we stop playing the religious games, we talked about that, how we play the religious games. And we truly begin to understand whom we believe in and what we believe about him. That is so key to where we're at today, church. We cannot hesitate when he moves upon us to do something in us and through us. We must be obedient. We must be ready and say, Father, send me. We must be diligent and allow his Holy Spirit to guide us and to have his way in us. We must allow him to build in us or to build us the way that he wants to build us. Speaking about this church, this is not Pastor Ken's church. So if you ever refer to this church, don't say, oh, it's Pastor Ken's church. No, Pastor Ken is the pastor there. God has allowed me to be the pastor of these wonderful people for 33 years now I've been here and loving it. But it's not my church. It's Jesus' church. It's not Four Square's church, though they own everything. It's Jesus' church. Amen? And so we need to remember that. So we must allow him to build us, not by what the world says the church should be or even what we think the church should be, but we must be a church equipped and empowered by the Holy Spirit of God. We become effective in our world as we fall on our faces and we seek his face fervently. Through this prayer, this fervent prayer, we become passionate about what moves his heart. One of my prayers has been, Lord, break my heart for what breaks yours. God, teach our church how to minister the way that you would want us to minister to the people that you place us into contact with each and every day. And just as Jesus was moved by compassion for the people whom he ministered to, who surrounded him, that we would be moved by compassion for those people as a church. We are moved by his love for us, allowing that love to be released in the church, among us first, and then carried out into the world toward all peoples. This love will cause us to be examples of who Christ is to each and every one of them, and to lead them to live for him, and to enjoy this wonderful life that he's died to give them. And then last time I spoke, we looked at the fact that we don't belong here, church, but that we are here because, as examples of Christ, or better yet, as ambassadors for Jesus Christ. You know what an ambassador is, right? An ambassador goes to another country and has the power of the country that they represent in that other country. So we are not of this world. We are of heaven, but we are living in this world. We are ambassadors for Jesus Christ. We are needed here. That's why he hasn't taken us out yet. And in this time, we're needed for this time. We're needed for this place in the history of mankind. And in that message 2 weeks ago, I asked you these three questions. I asked you to think about these and to pray about these. Number one, what are you consumed with? What is it that you are focused on and chasing after? Number two, what is God asking you to do? In other words, what is the calling of your life? And then number three, what will you do with God's love? If you've noticed in these messages, yes, we've closed in prayer, but I've also asked you to take the facts home or to take the points home and pray about them on your own, because I want God to speak to you just as I believe he's speaking to me. And all of that brings us back to the title for this morning's message, What Did You Hear? Because I believe, as I've said already many times, God is truly speaking to us today. Chapter 9, Karen's story. Karen's story, if we're going to ask God what he's speaking to us, there's two things I want to look at today. Karen's story, we are reminded that there is a counterfeit spirit. Two things that God is speaking to us, that I believe he wants his church to know, that there is a counterfeit spirit. Because I think the church, every time something happens, oh, that was the Holy Spirit, or that was the Holy Spirit, and I'm not sure that it always is the Holy Spirit. We got to remember that, especially in the Pentecostal church, we've seen some craziness through the years in the Pentecostal church, and I want you to know that was not of God. Some of those things weren't of God. And that's why people rightfully ran out of those services. See, whenever the Holy Spirit moved in the church in the New Testament, what happened? 5,000 were added to the church. 10,000 were added to the church. 15,000 were added to the church. So what's that saying? It's saying that not everything that's going on in the church today is of the Lord. And we're all saying, oh, that was the Holy Spirit. That was the Holy Spirit. No, God is speaking today and saying, church, be aware that there is a counterfeit spirit, that the enemy is here to lie, to steal, and to destroy what we have in Jesus Christ. Ephesians 2, chapter 1 to 3. And you he made alive, talking to the saints. You he made alive who were dead in trespasses and sins, in which you once walked according to the course of this world. In other words, no longer are we of this world. We don't belong here. Remember that message. But we're in the world, but we're not of this world. We no longer follow the course of this world. Listen, according to the prince of the power of the air, that's Satan, the spirit who now works in the sons of disobedience. So you got to get what Paul's saying here. He's saying you're now made alive through the Holy Spirit, but you weren't always alive because you walked according to the spirit of Satan, his fake counterfeit Holy Spirit. He wasn't holy. He was far from holy. And you once walked according to that. And this is the same spirit that now still works in the world where you work, still works in the world where some of you live because of people that are unsaved around you. Verse 3, among whom also we all once conducted ourselves in the lusts of our flesh, fulfilling the desires of the flesh and of the mind, and were by nature children of wrath, just as the others. So get a hold of what Paul's saying here. Paul's saying, church, be mindful of that counterfeit spirit. Don't fall back to it. Don't go back to it. When you came to know Jesus Christ as your Savior, your spirit was made alive, and then you began to be able to see through the leading of God's Holy Spirit the way that you once walked. And come on, all of us probably said, wow, I was really involved in that. I really did that. You did not understand what was, you didn't understand that the things you were going through were wrong, because that's all you knew. You didn't always understand that you were being led by the spirit of the world. It was all that Satan would allow, because Satan would only allow you to know certain things, right? And so there's a lot of people walking, I hope I'm making sense today. There's a lot of people walking in this world shrouded, their minds are shrouded by to the light of Jesus Christ, because Satan has this fake spirit, this counterfeit Holy Spirit. And it's this counter, and this was his counterfeit way of destroying what God created for each and every one of us. Then in 2 Corinthians chapter 4, Paul's talking about this light of Christ that the Holy Spirit has shown upon us. And he says this, 2 Corinthians 4:3. But even if our gospel is veiled, in other words, talking about those that don't understand the gospel, you know, this is where Paul says that the cross is foolishness to those who don't know him, that he uses the weak to become the strong, and those types of things. Paul's bringing it out. He's saying the gospel that you preach, have you found this to be true? The gospel that you preach to your coworkers, the gospel that you live before them, isn't always understood, right? Have you seen that? And that's what he says here. This gospel is veiled. It's covered. It's veiled to those who are perishing, those who don't know Jesus. They don't understand it. But listen, whose minds, talking about those ones, whose minds the God of this age has blinded, who do not believe, lest the light of the gospel of the glory of Christ, who is the image of God, should shine on them. And so I say this to say this. When you get angry at a family member, when you get angry at a friend, when you get angry at a spouse, when you get angry at a child, when you get angry at a coworker, because they're not getting what you're trying to say, you've invited them to church 1,000 times and they've not come, and they're not getting it, don't get angry at them. That's all they know. They're blinded by the enemy of this world, by the counterfeit spirit. We saw that with Karen if you read the chapter. Now, she was blinded in a much deeper way, okay? What is it? Santeria, right? What Santeria is, if I'm saying that right, I saw it in Peru. And the missionary tuned us into it really quick. So Santeria is Catholics who have taken demonology and have mixed those together. So they've taken, they've mixed the Catholic faith with the faith of witch doctors and things like this. So you would see in Peru, and we saw this, you would see altars in the front yard where they were killing a chicken, sacrificing it to the Lord, not the Lord. Okay, so keep that in mind. Okay, and so this is what she was, and she was dedicated to a god. She said, I didn't understand what God I was dedicated to. She thought as a Catholic, she was being dedicated as a child to God, but it was Santeria. She was being dedicated to the devil, this Karen, if you read the chapter, and how God brought her out of that. Very powerful. So her mind was being blinded. So don't get angry at them. You know what you do? Go and pray for them. Jesus, shine your light upon their minds. Jesus, show them the truth. Jesus, don't let them get caught up in this anymore. Because, you know, you get mad, they won't honor your faith. But don't get combative with them. Get combative with the one who's really behind it. Get combative with Satan. Come against his counterfeit lie in their lives and believe for God's love to be released in their hearts. That's what happened to Karen if you read the chapter with me this week. We are reminded of this again in 1 John 5:19. We know that we are of God and the whole world lies under the sway of the wicked one. That's the verse right there. We know that we are of God, but the reason why the world won't listen to you, the reason why your coworker won't listen to you, the reason why your spouse gets mad at you, the reason why this happens is because the whole world lies under the sway of the wicked one. What's the sway? The sway is his manipulation, his power over them, his thought process over them. And so that's where the world is at. Why would we think any different of them? And so let me say it this way. By blinding the minds of men and women to the true gospel of God, Satan has set himself up as a counterfeit of the Creator God. As the prince of the power of the air, he broadcasts his evil, rebellious attitudes to all humanity, and except for a few whom God has called out of those deceptions, the whole world lives under his sway. Why is that important to us? Why does God want us to know that? Because there are Christians sitting in pews today that are living under the sway of its counterfeit Holy Spirit. They're believing that, this is of God. Well, God must have meant this when he wrote the scripture. Oh, God meant this. No, that is Satan totally just coming against our minds, working in our hearts, and blinding us to what God was really saying. And I bring these thoughts up today, church, to remind us all today not to fall prey to the counterfeit spirit of Satan, of hell, today. Trust God's Holy Spirit. Trust God's Holy Spirit, because God's Holy Spirit will speak to us. God's Holy Spirit will guide us. God's Holy Spirit will lead us into godly things. Many times, some of you know this, you'll come to me and say, Pastor, what do you think about this? And I'll go on email or I'll get back to you and I'll say, here's what the Holy Scripture says, but you've got to make your mind up what you believe about it. Because the battle is now in your brain. It's not in my brain. And I can tell you what I believe, and I'll tell you why to believe this way. But how many know it's not good enough for your pastor to tell you why to believe it? You've got to come to a place where you have to believe it. And that's where you need to trust the Holy Spirit. Yeah, but the world is saying this. I get that. Well, we're hearing this on the news. I get that. But what is it? They're under the sway of the dark one. They're under the sway of this fake, counterfeit, lying spirit of hell. And so Karen, in chapter 9, was led astray from the love of God by a false and demonic spirit of hell that her life had been dedicated to as a child. And because of that, she no longer wanted to go to church. She no longer wanted to pray to God. She had been brought up a Catholic, but because of this godmother who was in her life that dedicated her to this demonic force, her whole life was wrecked and just messed up. Her thinking about God was messed up, because all she saw was a God who abused, a God who demanded things that weren't right, and she saw all these people in her life that were just worshiping this thing, and it wasn't right. She felt just nasty about it. But the Holy Spirit of God broke through that deception and said one thing to her that he wants to say to us today, church. So the first thought is this: God is speaking to the church and saying there's a counterfeit Holy Spirit. So listen, there's a spirit that wants to gain your life. There's a spirit that wants to gain control of your life. There's a spirit that wants to manipulate you. There's a spirit of this world, of Satan, of hell, that wants to control you and make you what he wants you to be. But listen to what God says. This is the second word from God today that we're going to look at, the last one, and I'll close the message on this. Not right away, I'm not closing yet, but the second thing. So the first thing is God says there's a counterfeit spirit. Be aware of it. The second thing is, you're going to love this. God says, I want your heart. I want your heart. In the book, Karen says it is this. If you read it, God says to her, in the midst of everything that she's going through, she hears the voice of God as she's going to Brooklyn Tabernacle with her sister. She don't want to be there. The sister just will not let her not go. Is constantly on her. You got to come to church with me. You got to come to church with me. Karen loves to sing. Brooklyn Tabernacle is a wonderful choir. So she's caught up with all that music. And she hears, in the midst of all of that, she hears God say, give me your heart. Give me your heart. Brothers and sisters, God wants our heart today. I did not tell my wife what I was speaking today. We did not talk about it. And she picked songs today that were right where God says, give me your heart. That was God speaking to us today. If you're here, I did not talk to Kim. We never discussed the message. She didn't know anything about it. And she picks these songs about God being relentless, chasing after our hearts, and how we should turn our hearts over to God. God was speaking to you through the gospel today, through the word, through song today. God was touching us and speaking to us. And he wants your heart. God wants your heart because it truly is the center of who you are. Your heart is you. So he wants your heart because it truly is the center of who you are. Proverbs 4:23. Keep your heart with all diligence, for out of it spring the issues of life. Amen. What's it saying? It is the force of life. Your heart, the center. It's not that muscle beating in your chest that God's talking about. It's that inner you. It's the real you. It's the place where his spirit touches our spirit. And so keep your heart with diligence. He says, protect it. Put a wall, not a wall around it, not to be loved, not that kind of wall, but a wall to keep it from the things of Satan. For out of it spring the issues of life. And we get to see how just important this part of us is. Here Jesus is saying, be careful, watch it, guard it, because it's that important to who you are. It's the part of us from which everything about life flows. Everything. Okay? Now, you've seen the painting. Jesus knocking on the door. My mom used to have it in the house. I don't know if she still has it. But, you know, we've all seen it. Jesus knocking on the door. We all know that there's no doorknob on the outside. There's only a doorknob on the inside, because Jesus is never going to force himself into our hearts. He wants it open. But you've seen that picture. We understand it. This is the verse that it's taken from. Revelation chapter 3, verse 20. Behold, I stand at the door and knock. If anyone hears my voice and opens the door, I will come into him. I will dine with him, and he with me. You see, Jesus wants to be your Savior. Listen to me. Online, listen to me. Jesus wants to be your Savior. Jesus wants to be the center of your life. He wants to be involved in all the issues and all the main components of your life, but he will not force himself upon you. And so he waits, and he knocks, and he waits for you to open your life to him, and then he will enter in. Because he understands how important your heart, how important the issues of your life are. This is what drew Karen to God. She had been used to the demanding of her religion, the demands and the things that she was seeing. And because of that, she had this cold and unloving heart toward God, because of the way that she knew religion to be. And rightfully so, she rebelled against it. and decided not to follow God and decided to do her own thing. And then she wanted nothing to do with church. And then she wanted nothing to do with this godmother. Thank God she wanted nothing to do with her. Thank God she saw that what she was being led into was not of the true God. But Jesus Christ in all of it continued to knock at her heart, continued to knock upon the door of her life, because he wouldn't let her stay lost. And we sang a song that says, I won't relent. I won't relent until I have your heart. I won't relent. I'm not going to give up on you. I'm not going to turn my back on you. And we say, yeah, but God, everybody else has. I get that. I'm not that. And no matter how far you are from me, no matter how far you traverse from me, no matter how far your sin has taken you, no matter how far this lifestyle has taken you, know this, I am still there, I am still knocking at your door, and I am still asking you to let me in. Luke 15:4, Jesus says it best. What man of you, having 100 sheep, if he loses one of them, does not leave the 99 in the wilderness to go after the one which he's lost until he finds it? That's Jesus. You may be the one from the 99 today. You may be the one. And you're saying, well, Pastor, you're speaking to a church where primarily people are believers in Jesus Christ. I get that. But I want you to know, just because you're sitting in church today doesn't mean that God has your heart. Come on, we need to be truthful today. Just because you're sitting online and you've read the Bible every day this week and you've done your devotions doesn't mean that God has your heart. And so if there's a knocking on your life today, open it up and let him in. He's there for a reason. Listen, give your life to him today. What are you waiting for? The world isn't going to get any better. It's going to get worse. What? I'm just telling you, that's what the Bible says. Right? The world's not getting any better. And you have discovered, as I have discovered, that there's no more that we can do to correct the situation than what we've already done. Maybe your inability to do anything, has brought to you a discouragement and a depression. Open the door. Give Jesus a chance. Yeah, but Pastor, I grew up in this church. It might have been a counterfeit Holy Spirit. Yeah, but at a young age, this might have been a counterfeit Holy Spirit. Might have been the enemy trying to block you from the love of God, trying to get you not to open your life up to him, not so that you would not see what God really could do in your life. You might ask me, well, Pastor, how do I know then if God has my heart already? I think he's got my heart already. How do I know whether or not he does? Matthew 6:21. For where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. How do you know if God has your heart? What are you chasing after? What is it that really means something to you? What is it that is important to you? If you want to know that, what are you willing to fight for? You know, when we fight for Jesus, and I don't mean punch somebody in the face and you better receive Jesus. I'm not talking about that. But when we go out into our communities and we fight for what is truth, you know, the Christians are the only ones that get ostracized for that today. Anybody else can go out and preach whatever they want to preach and say whatever they want to say. But the Christian, if you go out and do that, you should not be doing that. Man, that's against the rules today. That's against life today. No, no, no. Listen, what are you willing to fight for? If you believe that Jesus is coming soon, if you believe that the scripture is full, then we're going to go out and we're going to fight for it and we're going to believe for it. Let me ask you this. If you really want to know if God has your heart, you've heard me say this before, so I'm not going to belabor the point. Where's your time go and where's your money go? Check your calendar and check your bank book and you'll know whether God has your heart. It's that simple. Really? And there have been times that I look at my calendar and there have been times that I've looked at my checkbook and I said, okay, God, you didn't have my heart this month and I apologize for that. My heart was sold out to other things. My heart was chasing other things. I should be chasing you first and then all of these other things will be put in order. And if what you see on your calendar and what you see in your checkbook and what you see on your watch and what you see in the way you're living, if it's not God that is the focus of your life, if it's not his church, if it's not his people, if it's not his kingdom, then he does not have your heart. But he says today, give me your heart. Give me your heart. And if you still can't figure it out, then just ask him. Jeremiah 17 says this, 9 and 10, the heart is deceitful above all things and desperately wicked. Who can know it? I, the Lord, search the heart. I test the mind, even to give every man according to his ways, according to the fruit of his doings. What does that say? It says, remember, the wicked heart is under the sway of the enemy. So we don't even know when we're being wicked. We don't even know when we're following that fake spirit, that counterfeit spirit. We don't even understand it. And if we look at that scripture, it's very powerful where it says, the heart is desperately wicked. Who can know it? We can't even know our own heart. And when we do find some things out about our heart, you know what happens? We make excuses, don't we? Yeah, but that's only because, yeah, but stop justifying. This is the problem with this generation that's rising up right now. Everything's been justified for them. Everything, yeah, it was because of the house you grew up in. Well, it was because of the way your mom and dad were. It was because this was done to you or that was. You know what? Let's just buck up, whatever you want to say, and let's just admit, you know what? I blew it. I was selfish. I was jealous. I was mad. I was angry. I was this. I was that. And let's just say we blew it. Come on. It's not because of this. It's not because of that. Maybe those things lent to that, but we made the willful choice to do what we did. We can't know our wicked heart, but God does. God knows it. He sees it. He searches the depths of it, something that we cannot do. And so we just need to trust him. This is what all the laws in the Old Testament were about. If you read the Old Testament, there's some heavy laws in there. I mean, you get to Leviticus and you get to Deuteronomy and Leviticus, man, you're reading stuff and you're like, oh my gosh. How did these people operate? How did they live life? I mean, they're under the burden of the law. And Paul says that. That's what the law was given for. So that they would, and really all the law, all of those things that you read in the Old Testament, you know what they come down to? The heart of mankind. That's what it is. It's the heart of mankind. We read them and we wonder how it was ever possible to live in them. We wonder how we can ever achieve them. But it was all a matter of the heart. A heart turned toward God, or a heart blinded by the false Holy Spirit. I'm not going to say holy, the false spirit of Satan, because he's not holy. And that's what God was trying to show them. And in the end, under the new covenant, Jesus brings it all down to two things. It comes down to two things, Jesus says, that stem from the heart. All those do's and don'ts, two things. All those religious acts, all those traditions, two things. Listen to what Jesus says. Luke 10, 25 to 28. And behold, a certain lawyer stood up and tested him, saying, Teacher, what shall I do to inherit eternal life? He said to him, What is written in the law? What is your reading of it? So he answered and said, You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your strength, and with all your mind, and your neighbor as yourself. And Jesus said to him, You have answered rightly. Do this, and you will live. There it is. The law comes down to the heart. Jesus says it comes down to two things. Love God with all of it. Love God with all of your heart. And when God has your heart, he will have your whole entire being. And when he has your whole entire being, he'll have your soul, he'll have your strength, he'll have your mind. And as you live entirely for him, you know what else is going to happen? I'm going to fall in love with my brothers. I'm going to fall in love with my sisters. I'm going to fall in love with my neighbors. I'm going to fall in love with mankind. Because I begin to see them how God loves them, not how the enemy abuses them or what he does through them. I'm going to see them as God sees them. Now here's the thing, and look what Jesus said. I'm closing here, but look at the thing that Jesus brings out in verse 28. Jesus does this intentionally. He says, You have answered rightly. You've answered rightly. You know the answer. Now go do it. Now go and do it. There is a huge difference, church. This is where the church needs to grow up. There's a huge difference between knowing something of God and doing what we know to do. Come on, let's be honest. There's a church today that is hearing the word of God. They've heard it every Sunday. They've heard it every Wednesday or whenever their Bible studies are. There's churches, people sitting and filling pews today, filling chairs today, over and over again. They've heard it, but very few are doing it because we know it. But we're not doing it. It's not enough just to know it. We have to do it. A lot of Christians get stuck with that. There's a process between knowing and doing, going from here to here. And a lot of Christians get lost in this 13 inches. They get lost. What is holding you back today? What is it? Some of us have been sitting in churches for years and years. We've been singing the songs of faith. We've been declaring to people that we love him every service, every meeting we attend the church. And yet, listen, let's be honest. God still doesn't have every area of our heart. Give me your heart. There's a counterfeit spirit out there. So give me your heart. Because I'll protect it. Because out of it flow the issues of life. Be careful. For others of us, this thing is new. You've been here 2 weeks. You've been here 3 weeks. You've watched us. Maybe today you tuned in for the first time. Maybe you were going to watch something on YouTube that you're going to watch, and we popped up somehow, and you hit it, and you don't even know why you hit it, and you're watching us today. You just stumbled upon us online. Or you've just begun to attend here. Listen, here's what I'm going to tell you. Don't wait like other people in the church have waited. Give your heart to Him now. Amen? Don't wait. Why should I, Pastor? Because He loves you. Because He loves you. Because He only wants the best for you. Satan does not want the best for you. And I'm going to tell you, in that lying, counterfeit spirit, there's some good things that come out of that. There's some good emotion that come out of that. There's some good feeling that come out of that. But you know what? It's all going to fall. It's all going to bow at the name of Jesus Christ. It's all going to bow its knee. And where are you going to be left if that's what you're following after? See, God only wants the best for you. Satan does not. Because He knows what He created you for. And He knows how to bring you to the place where that you can never achieve of yourself, but can only achieve in Him. I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. And because, not just because He loves you, not just because He wants the best for you, not just because He knows why He created you, but because of His promise in Matthew 11:28-30. Come to Me, all you who labor and are heavy laden. Remember the shoulders of the law? All of you, I will give you rest. Take My yoke upon you. We know what a yoke is, right? An oxen has a yoke when they pull the wagon. That's the yoke. Take My yoke upon you and learn from Me, for I am gentle and lowly. In another scripture, it says My yoke. It does say it. I'm coming up to it. Lowly in heart, and you will find rest for your souls. Look for this. For My yoke is easy and My burden is light. And if you don't believe the scripture today, then listen to how it changed a woman named Karen. Because of what this woman named Karen in New York City discovered after she had been dedicated as a young woman to the devil in the name of God. Her heart was cold. Her heart was hardened in her experiences with God. She was done with religion. She was done with the church. But listen to what she says when she tells her story and how she heard the Lord ask for her heart. Listen to this and we'll close. When I started following Jesus, not only did I discover My gift, but I also discovered My future. Now my life has purpose, and my music has meaning. And this young girl who had been dedicated to the devil, who loved to sing, is now one of the biggest soloists in the Brooklyn Tabernacle Choir, who sings for Jesus, and who travels the world with songs in her heart, because Jesus said, give Me your heart. Church, He's speaking to us today. What are you going to do about it? Pastor, I've given my heart to Jesus. Might you need to do something else today? I don't know. But we're going to give the opportunity. And we're just going to ask this in closing. If that's you today, online, if that's you today, if that's you in the house today, and you just need to say, Jesus, I'm answering the knock today. Oh, I gave my heart to You as a child. Gave my heart to You 3 weeks ago. Gave my heart to You a week ago. Did you really give your heart? He wants the whole you. He wants everything about you. He wants to be the center of who you are and who you will ever be. And if He's not today, then now's the time to make it right.